That would be Paula Jameson from the Ladies Library, Barbara Hong, pianist in Ensemble des Amis, oboist Wendy Mazur, and flutist Bobby Coleman from the Arcadia Winds. Well, thank you all for showing up on this chilly Tuesday to talk about this.
Thank you for inviting us.
Now, I'm going to start with Paula Jameson, who has long been part of these concert previews, even though you rarely take the stage during these performances. But it is the home of the ensemble that we're talking about that you come here to share with us about.
The Ladies Library is so pleased to have this group coming back for, I think this is the fourth year now, and we have on the second floor of our 1878 building, we have a beautiful refurbished auditorium with a stage, and it's perfect for chamber music. I think the performers that have been there, including some other performers that have come for New Year's Fest, everyone has been so pleased with the sound that comes out of this auditorium. It's a place for beautiful music. We've had a regular set of followers that attend these concerts. We always welcome more people from the community to come. And just one more thing, I keep forgetting to remind people that even though this is a 19th century building, we are now barrier-free and handicap accessible.
The concert again is this Friday at 7:30 p.m. And I know I missed one of your concerts earlier this year already. I usually have, I think, a series of four concerts at the Ladies Library, and maybe I'll turn to Barbara Hong now. You're one of the longest established members of this group. Do you have any new insights on the longevity of this group and what keeps it going?
Oh, goodness. I was trying to remember when we got started. Do you remember, Wendy?
Oh, it's been close to 10 years, I believe. Ron Chase organized the quintet and contacted each of us and asked us if we would be interested in joining his quintet. And we did, and we started performing throughout the area. And then a few years ago, we were able to start enjoying the beautiful Ladies Library as a venue.
Mm-hmm. Well, Wendy, I've never had you in the radio station before.
Right.
So I sort of thought you were a newer member too, but no, you've been
one of the founding members. Yes.
Oh, fantastic. And well, I haven't had your story before. As an oboist, how long have you played the oboe, and why did you want to keep working at it?
Well, I've been playing oboe for over 40 years, which sounds terrible, but it's been over 40 years. And I had gone to Western. I did my bachelor's in oboe performance at Western, and then I went on and did my master's in oboe performance at U of M. And then, you know, when you get out of school, you're looking for, you know, opportunities to continue to perform. You know, freelancing was one area that you know, you could pursue and have a variety. So I've been playing in, you know, trios, which Arioso Trio is one of the groups that I've been playing with for about the past 20 years. And, you know, so still looking for different opportunities to continue to perform.
Mm-hmm. You also teach?
Yes, I've been teaching privately for, over 40 years. And so I've got an active oboe studio. Last year, actually, we held our year-end recital at the Ladies Library. And it was beautiful. The students enjoyed the opportunity to play on that lovely stage. Mm-hmm. And the parents also enjoyed the reception downstairs. So it was a lovely day.
Are you part of the planning committee that decides on the programs for the season?
Well, we all get together in August and start, you know, just throwing out ideas. And so we really are all part of that, you know, and then we just kind of put that together. And like I said, it's a group effort.
I would say the base or the core of the group is the wind quintet. And you try to find new quartets that you want to play, quintets, excuse me, that you want to play, and then we start building smaller pieces,
right,
trios, duets, and other combinations around that.
I do notice that on Friday night there is one woodwind quintet, but it's not the centerpiece because it's a shorter It's a shorter, terrific work. We'll get to it.
Right.
But it is made up of not just the quintet repertoire, but also flute, solo. There's a trio, and there's a couple of trios, it looks like.
Yeah. And I'm the odd person out. I'm not a woodwind player. So all of this repertoire people suggest, and I say, oh, wow, that sounds great. Let's do that.
Not as familiar with that as you would be with like the Brahms violin sonatas or something like that. Yeah. Well, Wendy, let me have you pass the microphone over to Bobby Coleman. And you are a newer member. At this point, it's been years, but...
Yeah, I'd say I started about the time we started performing at the Ladies' Library. So that's a great time to join in.
Yeah.
And you had asked Barbara about what kind of keeps this group going, and I think it is the love of music that we share and the care for each other, because we love to communicate, and that really makes for ability to risk-take when you play, to be yourself when you play. And then we have a venue that's very accepting. And that really makes for a wonderful musical performance.
The concerts are free and open to the public. Free will offerings are accepted to help defray the cost of putting on the concert and such. But they've always been just come one, come all.
Yes, very much so. We want to welcome everybody. We want them to be able to enjoy the music that we enjoy. So it's a special night.
How did it turn out that that you are being first up on stage all by yourself?
Well, I think sometimes we try to think, how can we be different, you know? And so to start off the concert with unaccompanied flute is very different. And I have a passion for this piece. And I said, can I play this, please? And they said, sure.
So what is the piece?
It's the first two fantasies by Telemann. They're from a set of 12, and I'll be doing one in A major and one in A minor.
So Telemann wrote 12 solo fantasies for flute. And sometimes I've heard recordings with recorder, but it's maybe better on transverse flute, I think.
A little bit easier.
Ah.
The cross fingerings and, you know, you guys can't see, but next to me I have an old flute, a wooden conical flute. And as I was preparing this piece, I realized this piece was played on a one-key flute with cross fingerings. And I thought, oh my goodness, how do you do that? Because the boom system is so much easier. Yeah. So,
how long have you been playing? I know that I was assigned these pieces, I think in high school, they never really felt like I completely mastered them because there's always something to go back for in a solo piece.
I'd have to think. I started when I was 8, and this piece is actually what got me wanting to play the flute. I heard it on a radio station that my mom would listen to, and I said, oh my goodness, what is that? It captivated me. Telemann's writing is so pure and so beautiful, and it really speaks for itself. So to come at it at this age, I just enjoy it so much more.
That's very true. Well, last week I played a recording by a wooden flutist who was born in Pennsylvania, as it turns out, and I've been pronouncing his name wrong for years. It's Jed Wentz. And I've been saying Jed Wentz for a long time until I looked him up. And that recording is phenomenal. And so I just found another, it's a wooden flute recording of this Telemann. He recorded all the Telemann sonatas. So we're going to listen to that. But I think you and I are both going to be a little shocked because I noticed in the timing of the first fantasy, he's taken at least a minute off the typical time it takes to perform the piece. So we might be in for an extremely accelerated fantasy here. But let's take a quick break for some Telemann and see what Jed Wentz does to the Telemann. My guests are flutist Bobby Coleman, oboist Wendy Mazur, and pianist Barbara Hong, all from the Arcadia Winds, and Paula Jameson from the Ladies Library Association. The concert is Friday at 7:30. That was American-born flutist Jed Wentz and music of Georg Philipp Telemann. We're listening to that music because it's opening up a program on Friday night at the Ladies Library Club in downtown Kalamazoo on Park Street. And here in the studio, if you just tuned in, our flutist, Bobby Coleman, who will be performing those two fantasies to start the program, oboist Wendy Mazur, pianist Barbara Hong, and Paula Jameson of the Ladies Library Association. And that's really beautiful solo music. I'm really glad to hear it just on the radio, and I'm sure in concert it'll be lovely. Do you have any thoughts on, you know, your interpretation versus what Jed was playing?
Well, I won't be on a wooden flute, so I'll have to try to emulate that on a silver flute. But yeah, I like to try to have that sound. I'm trying to do swells and nuances. I probably have a little bit different ornamentation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So hopefully that will intrigue you. Something different.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. One thing I had to educate myself about Mr. Wentz last week. And one of the things I was fascinated to discover is that he's now known as a flute player and conductor, but his other major specialty and the thing he is reached out to for is that he learned everything he could about acting and stage movement in the 18th century. So he says it affects the way he interprets music now, but there were actual theories of how to move and play when you were in public back then.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I think, too, if you would put on that type of dress, you would get in the moment, and that's kind of what sounds like what he does.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
You should bring a candelabra
yes.
to the concert on Friday. Well, we're still looking at the first piece of music, but it moves on to music of George Frideric Handel, and maybe I can ask Wendy Mazur to talk about this part of Handel's writing. We just heard a lot of Handel last month with the Messiah performances, but he had some lovely body of chamber music to look
right.
at too.
Well, and actually, Barbara is going to talk a little bit more about Handel.
Oh, you were going to pass the torch.
Yes.
to Barbara Hong.
Okay. Well, she was asking me, what are the Halle sonatas? And I thought, okay, I will look and see. And it turns out Handel was born in Halle in Germany. And he studied organ and violin and oboe when he was a child. He was so good at it that he substituted at age 9 as his teacher's Sunday organist. And he was composing. He wrote instrumental music, trio sonatas, I assume, for church use. So these Halle sonatas are said to be from the time when he was 10 or 11 years old. But there's a controversy about this because it can't be proven. They were published in 1730. But there's a copy of a piece that says this copy is from 1700, which makes it about, 1685 birth. it's about 10, between 10 and 15 years old that he wrote it. And they are amazing pieces. They're just so complicated and so beautiful. It's hard to imagine a child, maybe somebody like Mozart, who can just pull off something like this.
I just looked at the fine print on this CD recording, and it says George Frederick Handel, and then parentheses, attributed.
Attributed, yes.
So there is no solution to the mystery at this point.
Right. Well, and there's also all kinds of problems with Handel in that he used other people's music at times for movements that he needed, and used his own works, and there's so much going back and forth and that nobody can really be sure about these things.
Yeah, there was no Office of Copyright or Trademark for music.
Evidently, these were published later on in the 19th century, and from that day on, they were considered to be oboe trio sonatas, and that's it. They were their handle, according to this mid-19th century date. Yeah.
In this era, a lot of composers would release not just one work, but books, like a collection, and on this recording there are at least 8 sonatas recorded here, and often it was like sets of 12 or sets of 6, and I assume that was kind of the practice of the day.
And this is actually from a set of 6. This is the we're doing sonata number 2, which is in D minor, and out of that set of 6, that's the only one that is in the minor key, and there's no reason that we chose that. It was just the one that was our favorite. So, but they were written for 2 oboes and continuo, and but we are performing it with oboe, violin, and cello.
And who are the musicians besides yourself?
The musicians, Wendy, are Sharon Wood is our violinist, and Luke Cook is our cellist. And Sharon, she also did her bachelor's in music she has that from Western, and her master's is from the Northwestern University in Chicago. She's a longtime member of the Battle Creek Symphony, and she freelances throughout the area. And she's been playing with Arioso since about 2000. And she's a native of Battle Creek, where she currently lives with her husband, Mike, who is the principal horn player of the Kalamazoo Symphony. And Sharon homeschools her 3 children. Luke, all 3 of us have our degree from Western. We attended at different times. We never went to school together at the same time. But I think that's kind of a neat, you know, little thing that about our group that
we are
all WMU, you know, music grads.
Representing
exactly
a long legacy of great music.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Luke has his bachelor's from Western in music, and he has additional training at the Cleveland Institute of Music and the University of Michigan. He's a cello instructor at Crescendo Academy here in Kalamazoo, and also the Citadel Dance and Music Program in Benton Harbor. He's adjunct instructor of cello at Lake Michigan College, and he's artist in residence with the St. Joseph Public Schools Orchestra Program. So he's quite busy. He coaches groups from Kalamazoo, Portage, South Haven, and Wayland Public Schools, and he performs as a substitute with area symphony orchestras. And he lives here in Kalamazoo with his wife, Carrie, who is a music teacher in the Kalamazoo Public Schools, and they have 3 daughters.
Well, this concert is at 7:30 on Friday, and it's at the Ladies' Library of Kalamazoo. And we're discovering a lot about the pool of talent we have here in West Michigan. And Wendy, maybe we'll listen to this trio sonata now, this attributed sonata to George Frederick Handel. This is the sonata number 2 in D minor. That was music attributed to George Frideric Handel. It's a trio sonata for violin, oboe, and harpsichord in that recording.
In that one, I think it had harpsichord,
but
yeah.
On Friday night, you'll be playing with cellist Luke Cook. And I'm speaking with Wendy Mazur, who's playing the oboe in this performance. And the violinist will be Sharon Wood. Also here today, our Ladies Library Association member, Paula Jameson, pianist Barbara Hong, and flutist Bobby Coleman. And we're talking about a series that takes place four times a year at the Ladies Library in downtown Kalamazoo. Paula, maybe one more time, you could tell people where to find parking and where to find the auditorium itself inside the Ladies Library Association.
Yes, of course. The Ladies Library is at 333 South Park Street, downtown, right next to the Civic Theater, actually just south of the Civic Theater. And we have a parking lot that is on the south side of Lovell Street. There's a big sign that says Ladies Library there. And we offer parking to our patrons for free. So you have easy parking, and the auditorium is on the second floor. When you come to our front door, there will be a greeter there, and she'll direct you up the stairs. After the concert, we have a reception for the audience and the musicians. And one of the things that I think is really lovely about these concerts is there's an opportunity for the audience to chat with the musicians afterwards. So please come and join us. You'll find out a lot more about the music from the people who play it.
The Ladies Library Association is a group where members pay dues. And you get together and focus your energies on a few different things, but literacy is a big one.
One of our biggest sort of signature projects is a project called Books for Babies, and we collect books that are for infants and toddlers, and they're distributed throughout the community, I think through about 26 different agencies now. And these are for people that wouldn't probably have access to books otherwise. We also do projects with the CETA Scholars at Western Michigan University, which is an innovative program for young people coming out of foster care to attend the university, and we help provide support materials and services for these young people. So, and we have a number of other projects, too. We have about 170 members, and we are the third oldest women's organization in the United States and the oldest one in Michigan.
I'm always looking for things in Kalamazoo, and it's still no shortage of them that I've never done before, or have a friend show me something they know about that I don't know about. And if you don't know about the Ladies Library Association, Friday night's concert, which is free, is a great way to get an inside look at one of the oldest institutions we have here in Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm. And if you're interested, we have a website, which is www.kalamazooladieslibrary.org. And it has some pictures and directions and other information as well.
Very good. Well, let's move on and look at the next piece on the program. We've already talked about the Telemann solo fantasias that start the program, and then the Handel Trio Sonata, which we just listened to. Beautiful music. What's next, Barbara?
The next is a clarinet trio by Beethoven. It's Opus 11, so a fairly early work, and it has a subtitle called Gassenhauer Trio. This is not in our current repertoire, even I think in Germany. Gassenhauer means Gasse alleyways, and Gassenhauer means the hit tunes of the alleyways. And in other words, a pop hit of the time which could be heard anywhere by all kinds of people. So in this trio, the third movement is a set of variations on a pop tune, and the pop tune comes from a musical that was current of the day. And in that musical, Love at Sea, or The Love of the Mariner. And I'm not sure what the story is about, but in the tune is actually sung by three baritones, and they are singing in Italian, which I'm certainly not going to try to pronounce here, but the meaning is before I go to work, I must eat a little something. So I'd imagine a trio of baritones singing this might be quite hilarious. And it's simple enough so that it was picked up by all the local people and it became a Gassenhauer, a hit tune of the day. So Beethoven was requested to play this, put this in his trio by a clarinet player whose name was Beer. And as it turned out, Beethoven conformed and did this. And it's possible that the clarinet player never played it because it wasn't flashy enough. So maybe all this work for no appreciation, at least from the clarinet player. So the last movement is this set of variations on this pop tune.
What does your clarinet player have to say about the difficulty of this work?
He quite enjoys it. And what has struck me as kind of interesting is that the clarinet was becoming really popular about this time. This is about the end of the 1700s when Mozart was including it in the orchestra for the first time. Composers like the sound of the clarinet. The trio is written in the key of B flat major, which actually for the player is a nice easy C major. And considering the way the instruments were built at the time, probably it was the key that he was best in tune in. So a nice, comfortable C major for the clarinet player.
Well, why don't we hear this final movement, Barbara?
Okay.
Remind listeners that a live performance of the entire sonata is set for Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Ladies Library Association on Park Street, downtown Kalamazoo. On Friday, it will be Mike Petkus, clarinet, Liz Euchre, cello, and Barbara Hong, piano. The final movement of a trio by Beethoven for clarinet, cello, and piano, Opus 11, called the Gassenhauer Trio. And you maybe heard the description of the piece and the history of the piece from pianist Barbara Hong, who is a member of Ensemble des Amis, which is performing the work with clarinetist Mike Petkus and cellist Elizabeth Euchre on Friday night at the Ladies Library. Barbara Hong is here along with oboist Wendy Mazur and flutist Bobby Coleman and Paula Jameson from the Ladies Library Association. Paula, let's finish up in this last few minutes of the hour by thinking of any things we may have forgotten or wanted to reiterate, perhaps.
Maybe just to repeat, the concert's at 7:30 at the Ladies Library at 333 South Park, and there is parking south of Lovell, just across the street. And it's a open to the public, free and open to the public. Fully accessible, and we would accept donations if people chose to give them. Also, there is a reception afterwards for the audience.
The auditorium is upstairs.
Correct.
And there's an elevator or stairs.
We have elevators or stairs, and there will be someone to direct you either way when you come in the building.
And the reception is on the main floor.
Reception's on the main floor, and you can enjoy our beautiful 19th century rooms.
Barbara Hong, any last thoughts?
Well, I was just going to mention that there is the elevator, which makes it very accessible. Yes.
That's a helpful thing.
Yes.
And
we have a couple of substitutes in our group for Friday night. Wendy, would you tell us?
Sure. The Woodwind Quintet, we have a substitute on French horn, who is Aaron Donnelly. Ron Chase is taking the month off. And then we also have a new bassoonist, Anne Marie Welton. So she will also be joining us. And then Bobby is on flute. I'm on oboe. And Mike Petkus on clarinet.
Bobby, can you tell us anything about the final piece or anything else you wanted to mention?
Malcolm Arnold shanties. So it is a collection of three shanties, sea shanties. The very first movement is What Would You Do with a Drunken Soldier, or Sailor, excuse me. And you can imagine what Arnold does with that. He likes to manipulate it in funny, funny ways, and he does quite a few things with that sailor, things that will excite you within each instrument, which is fun. The second movement is so ironic. It is a Bonnie Was a Warrior, which is about Napoleon Bonaparte. And he takes this sea shanty and he makes it this slow lyrical melody, which kind of juxtaposes the whole concept. And it's beautiful. And then the third movement is Johnny Come Down to Hilo. And this one, he really plays around with the melody, really kind of makes it kind of like a Picasso painting almost. Our bassoonist kind of mentioned he just really distorts the melody, and you have to kind of try to find it. There's some dissonances. At one time, it passes the melody between note, between instruments. So you're going to have fun listening to this.
Well, that was a great description. Let's leave our listeners with a few minutes of the first shanty from the three shanties by Malcolm Arnold. And I want to thank all of you, Paula Jameson, Barbara Hong, Wendy Mazur, and Bobby Coleman, for joining me today for a preview of Friday night's concert at 7:30 p.m. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.